The bipartisan group of senators is working on a bill that's being called the biggest rewrite of the country's criminal justice laws in a generation. It's called the First Step Act, and at a news conference last week, President Trump announced he'd be supporting the bill.
Today, I'm thrilled to announce my support for this bipartisan bill that will make our community safer and give former inmates a second chance at life after they have served their time.
But the bill's future is still unclear, with Majority Leader Mitch McConnell saying the Senate might not have time to take it up this session. Ken Streit is a clinical professor emeritus at the University of Wisconsin Law School. He's worked on juvenile and adult corrections policy since the 1980s. Ken, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
As someone who's had a career in criminal justice research and policy, what's your reaction to this legislation that, like we mentioned, could mean the biggest reforms to sentencing laws in decades?
I think the biggest is a big word here. This is reminds me more of a Bill Murray movie where it says baby steps. I can understand why it's being marketed that way, because for bipartisanship, you want to say this was a heavy lift and we really had to work hard. When you look at the reforms that it has, they're good reforms, but the immediate impact on sentencing and things like that will probably not be as significant. What they've done is, I think, something that possibly Wisconsin, as they're approaching what to do with prison populations, is to realize that it's a complex thing. You know, I think the bill really has like 8 to 10 different kinds of parts. They talk about risk assessment so that we're not thinking that this is just people putting their feet up on their desk and releasing prisoners willy-nilly. They're trying to get confidence in there. They're getting things like looking at risk reduction, both in the prisons, giving incentives to prisoners to behave better in prison. Mm-hmm. They have a logjam of people in high security prisons, and they want to build the incentives for them to get to medium security prisons. They're doing things that they're actually taking lessons from a lot of states on how do you properly reintegrate people back into the prison system. For the most part, federal prisoners serve lots longer sentences than state prisoners. Part of it is because the prosecutors in the federal government tend to get the heavy loads. You know, they're the ones who have major, major drug importers or people involved in highly complex embezzlement or property crimes and things like that. So when you see that the federal system has like about 45% are in there for drug offenses, those aren't just 2-year sentences. Those are 20-year sentences and things like that.
Well, let's dig into some of the specifics. So the bill is seen as addressing some of the tough on crime policies that were very politically popular in the 1980s and 1990s. What are some of those key policies and how is this bill trying to rectify them?
Okay, one of the policies is that several years ago, they in fact did do a correction. Some of the listeners might remember that the difference between crack cocaine and powder cocaine was 100-to-1 different. So that means that a person who used powder cocaine could have 100 times more than a person with crack and get the same sentence. They didn't totally eliminate it. It's not 1-to-1, but several years ago they reduced it to 18-to-1. But that was only prospectively for people who were newly convicted after the effective date.
So it wasn't retroactive.
That offense. So one of the things that they did here was they said, all those people who had been sentenced prior to that time, and there were some very heavy mandatory minimums that were going on there, and if once those ratios. So the heavy lift on changing that was when they moved from 100-to-1 to 18-to-1. Now they're saying that for about 3,500 of the federal prisoners who were sentenced before that, they can apply to the judge and they can ask the judge to be resentenced. They're not automatically resentenced, but they can ask for them to be resentenced. Mm-hmm. So to give you a sense of how big that is, it affects about 3,500 current inmates. Altogether, there's 180,000 inmates in the federal system. So not insignificant, but you know, it's not like suddenly the prisons are empty.
Not a sweeping. We're talking with Ken Streit right now, clinical professor emeritus at the University of Wisconsin Law School. And we're talking about a bipartisan effort to reform, restructure federal sentencing law. And Ken, let's look at one of the individual components of the legislation. It's a piece called the stacking regulation, and that makes a crime committed with a firearm a federal crime. What does this legislation do, and why is there a desire to change things?
It's not that automatically if you commit it. It was a thing where if you committed certain types of crimes that were already federal jurisdiction and you involved a firearm in that, that would drastically increase the sentence you would get. And unlike in Wisconsin, sentencing guidelines are really only guidelines. So, for example, if a judge in Wisconsin goes above or below that guideline, there's no appeal in that. Whereas in the federal system for years, it was very appealable. It was very rigid. And oftentimes, a lot had to do with just simply what did the prosecutor put in the criminal complaint at that time, and that would force the judge's hands. So by taking away the stacking, those usually would greatly enhance what other, not that it was a low crime, but what otherwise was an ordinary crime now was a, you got a much longer sentence. So they took that out.
So as we said, this is a bipartisan effort. That is a rare animal these days in Washington. What do you think it is about this issue and this topic that has been able to bring legislators together who have agreed on almost nothing else?
Okay, sometimes criminal justice stuff has to do with people who get along and are from two different parties and are working on different things. Here, it appears that Jared Kushner had a passion for this, and there are several legislators from each party who this bill wasn't going anywhere a year ago, and he just seemed to have made the effort. Now, I'm not saying that's the only way that did it, but possibly that's what got two very significant legislators in the Senate and the House to start taking this seriously. They were House Chair and also in the Senate. It's still certainly not a done deal, as we see with Mitch McConnell saying, I'm not sure if I have time for this.
Well, and briefly, there was a time where being perceived as soft on crime was a political death sentence. So has that changed that people are willing to stand up for this?
One of the things over the 30 years that you have to do is you generally have to have in marketing your reform, you have to brand it as something that conservative people think is a good, logical idea. So, for example, a big part of the marketing, when you go online and say, where did this come from? They use the state of Louisiana as having used a bunch of the different strategies that they're going to use in First Step. Well, the state of Louisiana wasn't the first or the only state that used it, but it certainly has credentials because it is a state that really incarcerates a lot of people. And so if you can say, well, Louisiana likes risk reduction. Louisiana thinks that reintegrating people using a lot of resources while in prison and after in prison is important. If Louisiana likes it, let's go for it. And so it instantly has sort of a, this is an okay to go forward, not just to people, but to a whole bunch of legislators who are otherwise thinking, who's done this before?
Well, Ken, thank you so much for joining us and explaining the details.
You're welcome.
That was Ken Streit, clinical professor emeritus at the University of Wisconsin Law School. He was with us to talk about the potential impact of a bipartisan effort to change federal sentencing laws being discussed now in the U.S. Senate.